This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an in-depth interview with the superintendent in the Champaign School District on new buildings. And later on, we'll get a weather forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Illinois hospitals and the state of Illinois are still awaiting word on a plan that could bring in nearly $2 billion for hospitals. Sean Crawford reports.
A couple of years ago, Illinois came up with a program to tax hospitals and use the money to leverage more money from the federal government. Most of the funds would then go back to helping hospitals to cover the cost of treating poor patients. But after months of negotiations, still no approval from Washington on the latest plan. Kathleen Strand with the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services says talks continue.
We are working regularly and meeting with the federal government and with the Illinois Hospital Association to get the plan approved, and we're optimistic that the plan will be approved.
More than $600 million for each of the next 3 years is at stake. Along with hospitals, some of the proceeds would go toward nursing homes and the developmentally disabled. I'm Sean Crawford.
There's been an uptick in the number of threats made against federal judges in northern Illinois since members of a judge's family were murdered last year. There have been 36 threats against federal judges in the northern half of the state since the mother and husband of U.S. District Court Judge Joan Lefko were murdered in 2005 by an angry litigant, Bart Ross. Yet a member of a task force charged with looking at federal security says despite more threats, jurists in Chicago feel safer than they did a year ago. U.S. District Judge Wayne Anderson says judges believe they're safer because of increased awareness of personal safety and improved security measures since last year. Advocates for sexual assault victims fear that a high-profile rape case against a Bloomington police officer could be a setback for their cause. They say some victims could be reluctant to report attacks to police because 17-year department veteran Jeff Pilo has been charged in 4 rapes dating back to 2002. Vicki Smith runs a Bloomington agency that aids sexual assault victims, and she says rapes already go unreported in 7 of every 10 cases across the nation. Smith says fewer reports likely mean more rapes based on research that shows that abusers who prey on adults attack 7 times before they're caught. Bloomington officials say victims should draw comfort and not fear from the Bloomington police investigation that netted the charges against Pilo. The city manager, Tom Hamilton, says the case shows that police treat anybody linked to a crime the same, even when it's one of their own. Officials have identified the latest confirmed victims of the recent heat wave in the Chicago area. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office says 2 elderly men died in the city's suburbs. Their deaths were determined to be heat-related after weekend autopsies. The Medical Examiner's Office says heart disease also played a role in those deaths. The finding brings the total number of deaths blamed on the most recent heat wave to 23. Chicago has worked hard to avoid the disastrous consequences of the 1995 heat wave that killed more than 700 people. The city had opened cooling centers and pleaded with people to check on their elderly neighbors. A man in St. Clair County in the St. Louis Metro East area has been diagnosed with West Nile virus. The State Department of Public Health says it's the first human case in Illinois this year. Melanie Arnold, a spokeswoman for the department, says the Culex mosquito is the most likely species to carry West Nile.
Hot summer temperatures increase Culex mosquito production, which in turn can increase the proportion of birds infected with West Nile virus and therefore also increase the risk of disease to humans.
Arnold says last year the first human case of West Nile in Illinois was reported at the end of July. Illinois had 252 reported cases of West Nile by the time the disease subsided last year and resulted in 12 deaths. Illinois agriculture officials say they were distressed by what they saw when they visited Michigan recently to witness the devastation wrought by the emerald ash borer in that state. The tree-killing beetle has killed 15 million trees in Michigan, and now it's in Illinois. What they learned in Michigan has been incorporated into a state eradication plan unveiled over the weekend. Governor Rod Blagojevich says the plan will rely in part on $7.6 million of federal money earmarked for Illinois and Wisconsin. One focus of the effort to save the 130 million ash trees in Illinois will be on early detection. Blagojevich says some of the federal money will go toward more staff to conduct surveys for the bug. In Illinois, it was first discovered in Kane County. It's also been found closer to Chicago in Evanston and Wilmette. For the latest newscast online, you can go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Champaign school superintendent says a new bond referendum to fund school construction won't be coming to voters this year or the next. But Arthur Culver says Unit 4 still has serious building needs and also a mandate under the district's consent decree to build new classrooms north of University Avenue. Culver told AM 580's Jim Meadows that the district will be taking a new look at their building needs this fall, but that a decision on another referendum is still some time away.
We knew that it would be impossible in too short of a period of time to go in November. And as you recall, the referendum failed in late spring, and then we were trying to close the school year out over the summer. There's been a lot of people on vacation, so it's been kind of difficult to get everybody together. So we thought that the appropriate time would be to gear this thing back up in early fall semester, and that's what we're going to do. I don't see anything happening in April because we have 5 school board seats open, and I don't think it would be a good idea to try to float a referendum at the same time you have a school board election for 5 open seats. So what we're looking at is probably a year from this coming spring, and this will give a chance to get input from new board members as well as take our time and get grassroots support and input from all of our stakeholders.
So we're talking about at the earliest, depending on what the board decides to do, the spring of 2008 for some sort of referendum. And if there is a referendum, there's no telling at this point what size or scope it may be.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for the board, but based on my conversations with individual board members and also my recommendations as superintendent, I think that at the earliest, we're talking about spring of 08.
In the meantime, there was one idea which made the news a few weeks ago, and that was the availability of the Judah Christian School building, because Judah Christian is looking at moving to, I guess, a new building in Muhammad. Is that still an option? Is there a deadline for making a decision that would involve it? And have you identified strengths and weaknesses of the building?
Well, we're still analyzing that building and making some assessments, so it's still possible. We don't know exactly what direction we're going to go in with Judah Christian yet, but we're thankful that they approached us to see if there was some interest. And right now, the board hasn't said it's interested or is not interested. So we're going to continue to look at that building, study it, maybe do an ADA analysis and see whether or not that is an option. But certainly it would be irresponsible on our part not to take a look at that, because it is a building on the north side, and it would provide some additional seats.
In the meantime, under the terms of the consent decree, what sort of relationship do you have with the plaintiffs now as to the requirements that the district has to fulfill under that decree?
Well, the relationship seems to be going very positive. They've also explored that building, and they want to take a further look at it also. They want to decide, after they can see a condition analysis and some perhaps an ADA report, as well as a look at the asbestos in the building and so forth, before they can make a final determination as to whether or not they would support that as meeting the needs of the consent decree. So all parties are interested and just continue to study that, take a look at it, and we'll be making some decisions, I think, in the early fall.
Had there been a previous deadline for meeting that terms of the consent decree of New Strands north of University? And what
actually
happened to that?
Yeah, actually there had been. It was we were supposed to open those seats up at the beginning of the 05-06 school year, which was last school year. So we have to submit a new plan to the judge. And based on what we do at Judah Christian and as well as other ideas that have been explored, we'll be submitting a new plan for the judge in early fall.
Okay.
Actually, by September 15th.
How are the plaintiffs feeling about that in your talks with them?
Well, they just said they understood why we're late. They just want to make sure that they're included in the process and in the planning so that they can support what we submit to the judge. They want to be involved, and we're going to make sure that they get that opportunity.
Unit 4 School Superintendent Arthur Culver talked with AM 580's Jim Meadows. Culver says the Champaign School Board is continuing its informal meetings to hear from parents and voters at local schools. The next such meeting is scheduled for August 28th at Garden Hills Elementary School. You can hear an extended interview with Culver at will.uiuc.edu/news. Our meteorologist, Ed Kieser, says central Illinois and Indiana will see a chance of thunderstorms today. Actually, the entire two-state area will see a chance, a little bit more of a chance here in the central sections, though. Partly to mostly sunny, the forecast in northern Illinois and Indiana. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun, scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in central sections, and highs today ranging from 83 in the north to 95 in the far south. Tonight, in the north, mostly clear skies. In central sections, partly cloudy, a few scattered showers and storms. And in southern Illinois and Indiana, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, the lows ranging from 59 in the north to 72 in the south. Tomorrow's forecast, look for sunshine in the northern two-thirds of the two states. In the south, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and highs ranging from around 80 north to around 90 south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.